seen the pictures. Now, here's the reality. The solution is so simple, we miss it because we think things have to be complicated. And that's the trick of the culture. That's the trick of the satanic influence on the culture, that everything has to be so intricately detailed for it to be true and solid and right and deep. And in 2 Corinthians 11, this is what Paul was concerned about, that we would be distracted from the simplicity of devotion to Jesus Christ. And the answer to the problem comes back, and I want us to look at the other side of Christ-centered relationships. It starts with humility. And when you think about what humility is, if pride is a mindset on self, humility is a mindset on Christ with submission to his agenda. When you walk in humility, you understand this is who I am, positive, negative. This is who I am not, positive, negative. This is who I need to become. This is who I am. This is who I'm not. This is who I need to become. And you start to operate in submission to that reality. So guess what happens when people are critical of you? You just ask two questions. Is it true? Is it something I need to change? When I care more about what you think of me than I care for you, I can never have a real relationship with you because I'm too wrapped up in your opinions of me. And the problems about your opinions is that sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. The truth about God's word is that he's always right as it relates to me. So every now and again, you're going to get it right about me, and every now and again, you're going to get it wrong about me. But if I live based upon what God says is true about me, the good and the bad, I can accept what you say about me and put it through a grid. Yeah, that's true, and it's worse than what they know. You know, or no, that's not true, and you know, unfortunately, they're going to have to live with that perception of me because I can't control that. But I'm going to still care and show concern for them because I don't have the power to try to get in their space to prove them different, which is more about me trying to prove myself than me being who God wants me to be to his glory and their good. I always tell young men, stop trying to prove yourself and just be who you are. Because the folk you're trying to prove yourself to care less about you and not losing any sleep over you. This is all about you. They don't care about you. What if you got over yourself and you start to see yourself through the eyes of God and live out what God wants you to live, knowing that people are going to like you, they're going to hate you, they're going to love you, and begin to embrace not what they think of you, but what you are to be thinking about them and serve them. Imagine the freedom you have to relate to people. You no longer are consumed with opinions. You're concerned with love. Is that not what Jesus wanted for us in our relationships? So the simplest picture is we give solutions. Think about the Trinity for a moment, because all relationships were supposed to be based on the Trinity, and the Trinity said, let us make man in our image. So if we go back to how the Trinity relates, think about this beautiful picture that we can prove from Old Testament to New Testament about the Trinity. It's one simple reality. The Trinity operates in the fact that they're equal in essence, because they are. They also operate in subordination to one another. Isn't that interesting? So within the Trinity, they operate in equal because they are, and they operate in subordination. So every relationship you have, you're either equal to someone, you're under someone, or you're over someone. Is that not true or false? And God has commandments of what you need to do when you're equal to someone, what you need to do when you're over someone, what you need to do when you're under someone. And those principles and those precepts have never changed. What happens instead of looking at a person according to your picture, you started to deal with them according to their position in your life? You see how quick that would change everything? It doesn't matter what I think about you. It matters your position over me or equal to me or under me and what God has commanded of me. Can I give you a simple practical lesson about this? Now, you guys are familiar with all the different issues that you see in our culture and race relations and all the challenges and the things you hear on the radio and all of that good stuff and you see on television. Now, I could say, well, you know, as an African-American male, there are times when the policeman can be a little bit judgmental and a little racial profile, and I can get into all of that stuff. And some of that is probably true. But if I ever said, you know what, I don't trust the police department, so therefore, if they ask me to pull over because of my perception of them, I'm going to keep driving. What do you think would happen to me on the 10 o'clock news? What would you guys see? Nicholas Ellen taken downtown. You know? And what would be my, well, because I don't trust the police. Well, tell me where trusting them had anything to do with submitting to them according to their authority. Does that make sense? Sure, there are biases. And I've seen some of them. I've been pulled over because I was in a neighborhood people didn't believe I should be in. But their agenda could not determine my reactions. Am I making sense to you? What will I be held accountable for? My actions. They are in a position of authority. Unless they ask me to sin, what am I supposed to do? Whether I like them or trust them or not is irrelevant. If they ask me to do something, it's not sin. If they ask me to do something that's sin, I can't do it and I have to suffer for righteousness' sake. But if they don't ask me to do anything to sin, what do I need to do? What they? But the reason they did that, yeah, that may be true. But did they ask you to sin? What happens when my picture of you is the background and I deal with you according to your position? If you're equal to me, the Bible says I'm to give preference. If you're under me, I'm to lead you in love. If you're over me, I'm to submit to you as Jesus submitted to those whom he created. Is that true or false? It changes the whole paradigm of the marriage when I deal with you according to your position versus my picture. Are you with me so far? Let's walk that through. You evaluate a person according to his or her position before God. They're either saved or unsaved. Before you, they're either in authority over you, in subordination to you, or a colleague equal to you. Wisdom is in the presence of one who has understanding, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. So if I deal with you according to your position, then secondly, I need to deal with you according to God's priority. Now let's kick in for a moment. God's priority is his glory. God's priority is also salvation, sanctification. So if I deal with you according to my preference instead of God's priority, who's at the center of the world? But if I deal with you according to God's priority and not my preferences, then who's at the center of the world? Now think about what would happen in your marriage if you start to see your spouse according to their position and according to God's priority for them as it relates to what you are to do with them. Let's walk that through a little bit. You focus on how God wants a person to present and demonstrate their character, their conduct, their conversation, their commitment, their care, their compassion, their concern. You focus on how a person may please God instead of focusing on how they may please you. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Now, I need you to let that kick in for a moment, because what would happen in your marriage if you said, well, this is what I want him to do, and stop and said, now, wait a minute, does this match what God wants him to do? Or have I elevated my preference to God's precept? Is there a biblical passage here? And if so, then I need to be careful, because if this is what God wants them to do and this is what I want them to do, who's going to motivate them to do it? It's not going to be me. It will take the Spirit of God. And I've just realized something, and this is what I tell people all the time. I just realized something. God didn't operate on my time frame. Isn't that interesting? When people try to get real holy with me in counseling, I just want her to be the best woman that God would want her to be. And the scripture says here, this is what I'm to do. I'm to wash her with the water of the word. And the scripture says that she is to be submissive. And I love when they get spiritual. I say, you know what? All of what you said is true, but who determines the time frame and the outcome? So if you're truly trusting Jesus the way you say you are, you seem to be trying to get ahead of Jesus instead of submitting to him in this process. Because whose child is she? And since she's his child, he will determine when that happens. This is less about her being the woman that you want her to be and more about you seeing your impatience and trying to control what you can't control, which is more about your character deficiency than hers. Because you're pushing something in this counseling that doesn't fit reality. Because you know, if God wanted her to change, it could happen like that. But for whatever reason, she's not changing at the level you want her to change. I wonder what that says about you and less about what it says about her. Are you guys tracking with me on this? Because sometimes we can cloak our selfishness behind Bible, because a lot of us as Christians, we know enough Bible to hide our wickedness behind the scriptures. We have to bring out the wickedness to show the scriptures stand, but that's not the issue here. Your wickedness is hiding behind the scriptures. You're not trying to push how much you care about her. You're consumed with your agenda with her. And you try to get Bible to affirm it. I need you to repent. Because God is not moving at the level you want. But when it's God's priority, it's God's timing. True or false? True. Okay? You focus on how you want the person to please God instead of how you want them to focus on pleasing you. Notice what happens when I deal by God's position, I deal with them according to God's priority. Instead of dealing with you according to presumption, I'll deal with you according to precept. Let me just read a little bit of this, and we're going to talk in detail about it in our next session when we talk about how to communicate and listen. So I'm going to read it, but I'm going to articulate it in another session. You evaluate a matter with a person according to four categories. Is this a preference issue? Is this a wisdom issue? Is this a conscience issue? Is this a sin issue? Let me just kind of give you a big picture. As people are communicating to me, I've learned to categorize the conversations, because not every conversation is the same. And unfortunately, if I'm dealing with you according to my preferences and not precept, I'll hear what you said and just run with what I'm thinking and then just shoot off at the mouth. But if you listen to conversations, they fall into these basic categories. Let me just kind of explain it to you. The first one says, is this a matter of preference? If I say to you, well, you know, I just think we ought to do so-and-so. Is that a command? Is that what God has commanded us to do? Is that what you just think ought to happen? That's a what? Preference. When people come to me and say, well, you know, prof, you know, I'm thinking that the class looks this way. I think we should change it around this way. I'm going, that's great, but others don't necessarily. Yeah, but I think, and I really appreciate your preference here, but that's not something that everybody else will agree to in this, and that's not something. Well, why can't we do that? Well, it's a preference, or are you giving me a command since you've taken my place and you're running the class now? Oh, not a bad thing. But no one else in the room wants to do that thing, and I want to be considerate of everybody, not just your preference. Now, if everybody comes and they decide they want to do that, then we can change the whole room around. Preference. Does that make sense? Another idea, conversation, wisdom. What is the best way to raise our children? What is the best way to invest our funds? What is the best? Those are wisdom questions. Those are wisdom conversations. Conscience issue. Well, you know, I was a drunkard, and you know, I have been delivered from my sin condition position. I am now walking rightly with Jesus Christ, and you know, my conscience will not allow me to drink. And so, you know what? I think it's wrong to drink. What do you think, Pastor? I think what you think. However, I also see that the scripture gives freedom for drinking, but not being a drunkard. Yeah, but it's wrong. To get drunk is wrong, but to drink is not wrong according to scripture, but yet I understand your convictions. What is that? A conscience issue. And too often people will bring their personal convictions and believe everyone should operate by their personal convictions. And I have to be careful in the conversation as a leader how I respond, to be sensitive but recognize this isn't a preference conversation. This isn't a wisdom conversation. This is a conscience conversation. Does that make sense? Another category, morality. What do I mean by this? I'm going to leave my wife tomorrow. And I know what the Bible says, but I just feel in my spirit that's what I need to do. Well, you know what? You need to stop feeling in your spirit and start walking by faith, by scripture. Does that make sense, guys? See, that's a moral issue. So as I'm listening to conversations, if I deal with it by precept, I'm saying, ah, here is a preference conversation. Here is a wisdom conversation. Here is a conscience conversation. Here is a moral issue conversation. There should be a different response for each one, not the same response. But that means I'm not listening according to my presumption. I'm listening according to what? God's precept. From your precept, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. If I'm dealing with you according to the position, the priority, and I deal with you according to the precept, guess what happens in my soul? I have what? Peace. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do, because I'm not operating according to my agenda with you. I'm operating according to God's agenda with you. And when I operate according to God's agenda, I will always have peace. Scripture says, walk in the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So you can't give me peace, therefore you can't take it from me. So when there's a lack of peace in my life, there's a lot of sin in my walk. Does that make sense? It's not you, it's me. That's one case when that statement is made that it's really true. It's not you, it's me. Because somewhere in my spirit, in my life, I'm in sin and I'm not walking by the Spirit. Scripture says those who love the law have great peace and nothing can make them what? Stumble. And then finally, the practice. The practice. You relate with the person according to your role and responsibility. If they're under you, you look after and lead in love. If they're over you, you line up with and be loyal to in love. If they're equal to you, you serve and give preference to in love. Your role and responsibility determines how you treat the person. Matters are handled by God's command. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. Notice the difference, and it's so simple. Instead of dealing with you according to my picture, what is your position? Instead of dealing with you according to my preference, what is God's priority? Instead of making presumptions, wait a minute, let me evaluate according to precept. Then I have peace. And then I will practice living with you, not according to how I feel in a moment, but according to my covenant and my role with you in the moment. I may not like you in the moment, but I will live the way I'm supposed to live with you. Now, I don't want you to show your hands because I want you to have a good day today, but I'm sure many of you don't like your spouses all the time. But please don't raise your hand. I want you to have a good day. And there are days when my wife does not like me and I do not like her. But we're not operating on our like, we're operating out of love. And when I operate out of love, whether I like you or not today, my covenant commitment to you today is blank. And when I live by my covenant and less by my mood, I'm walking by faith, not by sight. So let's summarize this together. I want to give you a few minutes to talk about it. So if you look at it, I need to deal with you according to your position. My view of you is based on your position before God and my role in your life according to God. Then I need to deal with you according to priority. My agenda with you is to help you please God in all aspects of life. So then I need to deal with you according to God's precept instead of my presumption. My evaluation of you in any given situation is based on God's perspective, not my perception, which then will allow me to have peace with you regardless of what's happening in our relationship. My tranquility of mind is based on my acceptance of God's agenda for me with you and the context of the matter, which then means what happens in my practice. My actions with and towards you are determined by my God-given role and responsibility in relation to you. The secret to every relationship is, what is my God-given role? Are you a believer or unbeliever in my life? Are you equal to me? Are you under me? Are you over me? And according to those particular things, that makes me an ambassador and builder in your life. And I'm either submitting to your authority, we are giving preference because we're equal, or I'm leading you. What is my role? That is how we need to deal with relationships, not how do I feel. Covenant above mood transforms marriages, transforms families, transforms churches, which then transform communities. And then Jesus is glorified, the church is edified, and the devil is horrified because we're operating according to the agenda God set. Father, make them one as we are one. I'd like you to take a few minutes now. Take about 4 minutes. So what? And then we're going to take a little break in about 4 minutes, and then we will transition to the next thing. So take about a 4-minute process with each other, and we'll take a 5-minute break.